If you have your Bibles, you could turn to Genesis. I'm going about as far away from the Christmas story as I could possibly get, and that's not a planned thing. That's this is part two of last week's message. We talked about Jacob, and so, it was made reference to. I do have PowerPoint, so if you can follow along, you can try. But Genesis chapter 32, when you get there, the story of Jacob's encounter. There are angels in this, so you can say that it's kind of Christmassy. There is a manifestation of God in this. There is a theophany, so you could call this kind of like a Christmas story, but we'll see how it goes. The story of Jacob when he's kind of in, well, at the end of his rope, like the word of prophecy came this morning, kind of hanging on to the last threads. And there was a time to let go. Verse 32, or chapter 32, verse 1, so Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Then go down to verse 9. Then, after he learns that his brother Jacob, who, of course, if you know the history of Jacob and Esau, ain't so good. Some family tension there. And now he's going to face his brother, and his brother's brought 400 men with him, armed men. That doesn't sound so good, too. And so he cries unto the Lord, it says in verse 9, and Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, and the Lord who said unto me, return to your country and your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown to your servant. For I have crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you have said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude." And then he stayed there for another night, and he sends gifts to, he has a plan of action to deal with his brother involving bribery, and it's quite a neat scheme that he's got there, and he has a whole plan, you know, in case God doesn't work. You know, we do that kind of ourselves. We get the two plan kind of things. And then verse 24, and after he was dealing with his plan, it says in verse 24, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, that is the man that he was wrestling with, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Literally dried up the sinews in the bone. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said unto him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob," which means liar or deceiver. And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." I like the King James better. "You are a prince," which is what it means, Israel means. "For you have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed." And Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, and of course, since you have a New King James or King James, the "he" is always capitalized here. "Why is it that thou ask my name?" And he blessed him there. Like, you don't need to ask my name. Haven't you got it yet? So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, and "for I have seen God face to face, and my life has been preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he limped upon his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is in the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip. in the muscle that shrank. Father, we thank you, God, for your word and the story. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you in prayer and we can seek your face. And Lord, we do seek your face. We seek your face, Lord, for those even in far away places like our brothers and sisters in China. We pray for them, Lord, that you would show mercy and, Lord, that you would give them favor with God and with men. And that they would prevail, as the scripture says here, regarding Jacob. We pray, Father God, for the circumstances of life that we may find ourselves in, Lord God. We pray that you would come into these circumstances, that you would make a difference in our lives, our community, our nation, Lord, that is walking away from Almighty God. Lord, we pray that you would reveal yourself. Father, we ask, O God, today that in the Word you will be glorified and lifted up in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The whole part of the Advent season, the lighting of the candles and whatnot, you know, symbolically, is to prepare our hearts to receive the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this season, we are extremely busy. Aren't you? And sometimes we get caught up in all the things, and I think the song was very apropos because it said we need a silent night. Well, Jacob came to a point in his life where he finally stopped running. And that was the time when God took the opportunity to get a hold of him. When he let go of the last little bit of strings that he was hanging on to. You see, God wanted to use Jacob and he wanted to use him greatly for the Lord, just as he wants to use you. And he wants to use you greatly for his kingdom purposes. But there's a point at our journey when God gets to have a chance to meet with us because we run out of runway. We can't take off. We can't escape. We're stuck. And here is Jacob at the river Jabbok, which literally means place of stirring up the sand. You know, like the guy's you just see the guy pacing back and forth in the desert sand and the dust rising up, you know, a place of turmoil. You know, probably was a meaning that the brook went through the desert and it stirred up things. But here it was him emotionally being stirred up. Friends, have you ever been at the place of Jabbok where you were in emotional turmoil? On one side, you have a great family reunion coming up. Christmas dinner's coming. And my brother's showing up this year. Oh, no, not my brother. His estranged brother. He was not sure what kind of family reunion it was going to be. I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of situation where you had something that you dreaded. You dreaded Christmas, or you dreaded New Year's, or you dreaded whatever it was because so-and-so was going to be there, and you've got unfinished, unresolved conflict with that individual, and every time you get together, there's that tension that is there. You're always wondering, are they going to say something, or are you going to say something? Then behind him, on the other side, back in where he's come from, is his in-laws. Laban and the boys and girls. And he'd spent a long time there, and there was a lot of conflict, if you want to go back in the story there. And he had spent 7 years trying to get one wife, and 7 years he was tricked and had to spend another 7 years, and the whole story, and the conflict and the jealousy with his in-laws and the tension that was there. So he had two family problems. His in-laws and his brother. Maybe this is a Christmas story. Come to think of it. Conflict on one side that he was trying to get away from, and conflict on the other side that he didn't really want to face, but he didn't have a whole lot of choice. Have you ever found yourself in that? He's stuck. He's stuck. All his scheming. Jacob is quite the schemer, you know, from going right back to when he was born. He's a schemer. He's got to figure things out, and he's in a situation where he finds it hard to figure it out. And into this situation, into this context, two divine encounters happen. The first one is the angelic encounter. The angels in chapter 32, verse 1, they meet up with him. It doesn't say what they said to him or what they conversed with him, but it doesn't really matter. It was more of a manifestation than a message. In fact, oftentimes the manifestation is the message. What they said to him doesn't seem to really matter. It's just the fact that they showed up and he said, God's with me. God's with me. And that prepared for this prayer. And I'm going to teach a little bit on prayer. Rebecca's not here to... Sister Vanoppen, who's the prayer gal for teaching, but you know what? I just take what the text tells me, and so this is the text the Lord led me to. The first thing is prevenient prayer. If you go to verse 9, you'll see, and Jacob said, "Oh God, oh God." You ever prayed that prayer? And this prevenient prayer, this introductory prayer, is a very, it's rather a distant prayer. He doesn't come out and say, "You're my God," but rather he says this. He says, "Oh God, my father Abraham's God, my father Isaac's God, and the God that has spoken to me and given me instructions, you God. I know who you are." Friends, oftentimes that initial, when you're in a difficult place, when you're stuck in the middle of two situations, whether it's this Christmas or whether it has nothing to do with Christmas at all, but when you're stuck in the middle between family issues or whatever it may be, or economic or choices to make, you know, and you know who God is. And so you call on His name. That's just the beginnings. You know, how do you get going? You know, oftentimes I'm with people and I say, "Well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray." I just say, "Oh God. Oh God." Okay. "Oh God of my fathers." You know, it gets a little more personal later, but it's a fairly distant prayer. It gets him into it. But then he gets into beyond prevenient. He goes into the next phase. He gets into penitence. Once he recognizes who God is, and that's always the great thing. Once you recognize who the Almighty is, then you recognize who you are. Amen. In verse 10, he says, "I am not worthy of the least of all of the mercies and all of the truth which you have shown your servant." I'm not worthy. How sweet the sound in Jehovah's ear is the penitent prayer, is the humble prayer, because God can work with humble people. And then, I'm just quickly moving through these, then there's the petition prayer in verse 11 where he gets beyond that. And this is a good, you know, he addresses the Almighty, he gets to know who God is, the God of his fathers. Then he recognizes his own less. He doesn't deserve any of the mercies of God, the penitent prayer. And then the petition comes in verse 11. He says, "Deliver me, I pray, from the hands of my brother." That's the first experience. The experience with the angels. And maybe that's been your experience. You know, the message has come to you. Your Christian walk is you pray when things get rough. You give a desperation prayer. You cry out unto God. And you know, you have that penitent prayer. Praise God of, "I'm not worthy of what you have given to me, but thank you, Lord, for all that you have given me. And now, Lord, I bring my petitions before you." And that may be great. But God had something more for Jacob. He had another encounter, not just a messenger encounter, but the Messiah encounter, if we want to move it from that. A much more deeper, a much more personal experience with God. He didn't answer his prayer the way that Jacob would have wanted his prayers to be answered, because God himself says, "I am the answer to your prayer." I don't know if you've ever thought of this. God is the answer to your prayers. "But I'm praying for this." Yes, but God is the answer to your prayer. He is the answer. His presence. He is the answer to your prayer. God himself is the answer to prayer. His presence is key to all of your victories. And so we go into this, what I call presence prayer. It's where you go down to verse 24. It's where the wrestling begins. Now, some of you may have wrestled this morning. But oftentimes we're wrestling with the devil. Oftentimes we're wrestling with temptation. Oftentimes we're wrestling with sin, wrestling with the sinful nature, wrestling with those things that haunt us, those dark things. But this is a wrestling with God. This is the day that Jacob joins the WWF. Some of you don't even know what that is. Wrestle with Father. Amen? Where he got down with God. In verse 24, you find the situation. He says, and Jacob was left alone. Who wants to be alone? For many of us, it's the most terrifying place to be found. And you can be alone in a crowd. You can be alone in a city. You can be alone when there's all kinds of people around. But sometimes the most terrifying thing for any of us is to be found alone. But that's exactly where God wanted to meet with Jacob. He wanted to answer the prayer, but he wanted to prepare him for a victorious life, not just getting through this circumstance. Friends, how many circumstances that we find ourselves in are far, God wants to teach us in it far beyond what the circumstances really are. He wants to use the circumstances as an opportunity to have a personal encounter with the living God. But he's got to get you to a place where you're by yourself. You know, I find that hard. I love to pray. I love to go to prayer meeting. I love to pray with people. Ooh, it's fun to pray with people. That's fun. That's great. The day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord. Hallelujah. In one place. And the power of the Holy Ghost came down. That's the kind of meetings I like. Glory to God. But it's the meeting in the desert by the river Jabbok, when everybody's somewhere else and your circumstance is the same and you need God, but you don't know how to approach God. That's where we get into prevailing prayer, which is the next thing. I think we depend too much on the prayers of others to make it through the difficult times of our life. You find out that after he was left alone, verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Friends, that's when God really showed up. When he was alone. When it was just him and God. I know that we've all had our God encounters. In fact, you can't be saved unless you've had some kind of personal encounter with God. But while this is a great salvation analogy, it is better kept in the context of a believer who has prayed, who has called on the Lord, who knows who his God is, but needs to go into a deeper walk with the Almighty. There's some things that need to change. And this is where we're at in Jacob's life. There's some things that need to change for him to really be the instrument that God has, to really be the miraculous walker in the truth, to really be the one that prepares the way even for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ many, many generations later. But Jacob needed a personal encounter with God. A.W. Tozer, I think I have a quote up here if you want to just click. He says this, you may not like this, but he says this, strange as it may seem, we often win over our enemies only after we have first been soundly defeated by the Lord himself. God often conquers our enemies by first conquering us. You see, his focus was on the problem. Esau, my brother. Oh, his prayer was all about Esau. All about the other guy. But God turns it around. He says, I want to meet with you. I want to change you. I want to deal with you. That was the answer to his prayer. I want to deal with you. I want to conquer you. So we ask the question, who won the wrestling match? Was it man or was it God? Is God not strong enough that he could whip a guy like Jacob? Friends, it was both. Everybody wins when you wrestle alone with God. Amen? Jacob, he was hanging on. Because he was hanging on for a blessing. He was going to tarry until he was going to tarry with the Lord to prevail until the breaking of dawn. because there was a blessing coming to him. And Jacob, if you know his character, he was a guy that would wait and hang in there until he got what he wanted. And what are the manifestations of successful prevailing prayer? It's change. But not the change that he had thought of or asked for. In fact, he didn't ask for anything to change except his brother to change. The first thing that changed was his location. I believe I have that. His location changed. His location changed without moving. Now, how do you do that? Because you changed the name of the place. The name of the place was the river Jabbok, or the brook Jabbok, which means the place of turmoil, the place of the sand being disturbed. And he changes the name of the place to the place of meeting the face of God. It was the same place. But because of his encounter with God, the name changed. Friends, everyone wants their circumstances to change. But God wants to change us in the midst of our circumstances. He wants us to declare the ground, the encounter with God. He wants us to say, you know what? This ground is called emotional turmoil. But I am now declaring it as face to face. This situation that I am in, this thing that I find myself in, you know, is called emotional turmoil. It is called the stirring of the dust. But because I've encountered God, I am now declaring this place to be face to face. I am calling this place an encounter with God. It's kind of like what our brother James said. He says, count it all joy, brother, when you go through diverse trials. In other words, write it down in your book in all those times that were trials in your life. Go back in your diaries and write joy, 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 joy. Change the name. The circumstances didn't change, but he changed in the midst of the circumstance. It was no longer, oh Lord, deal with Esau, my brother. Oh Lord, deal with my in-laws back there. But I am now changed. You know, change isn't pretty sometimes. The next thing is, he changed the way he walked. After an encounter with God, after a power encounter of God, he'll change the name of your circumstances. Esau was still on that side of Jacob, of Jabbok. Laban was still on the other side. The circumstances seemed to be the same, but the place changed. But then the second thing is, he changed the way he walked. And I would say this, friends, nobody that has an encounter with the living God stays the same. He walked differently. That's the sanctification touch of the Holy Ghost when you meet with God. That's the wrestling with God in prayer. That's having God deal with you. That's meeting Him one-on-one. There is holiness that comes in. There is sanctification that takes place. There is deliverance that happens. You walk differently after you encounter God. Now, it didn't look so pretty. We would say this, well, poor Jacob, he wasn't much of a man of faith because ever since he met with God, he walked with a limp. Some of my faith guys, they say he didn't really do that. You know, some of my Word of Faith preachers on TV, I've heard them talk about that. Oh, he didn't really know. He didn't walk with a limp. No. Because he later went to a meeting and got healed of that, you know. You know, or he claimed it and it went away or whatever else. I don't know, friends. I don't have any scriptural evidence except to say that I do believe that he walked with a limp. Constant reminder of his encounter with God. Now, I don't believe that we have to walk with a limp, but we do have to walk differently after we truly encounter the living God. Moses, when he came down from the mountain, when he had the face-to-face, he glowed. I don't mind that one. I like that better than limping, don't you? You know? But it doesn't matter. Whatever the Lord chooses. You know, Paul said this. He could take off his shirt and he could say, look at this. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did the Lord take away his scars and his marks? No. It says in Acts chapter 4, Pharisees and the religious guys dealt with the church, the boys. It said that they were dumb guys. Really? They weren't that bright. I mean, these were uneducated Galileans. I mean, what's wrong with these guys? They speak with a funny accent. And they noted that they had been with Jesus. They had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were with the Lord. They noted that there was something about them. They had been with Jesus, even though the marks that distinguished them as Galileans were not so nice. Friends, when we have a genuine encounter with the Lord, when we wrestle with the Lord and we come out of the other end and we get the blessing of God and we prevail in prayer and hang in there and don't give up because you're on the verge of a miracle, amen. When you hang in there with God, there'll always be a blessing. But maybe most importantly, I'm not sure, but certainly on the level of importance is the next thing is that it also changed the way he thought. Going into this encounter, his name was Jacob, deceiver, liar. Coming out of this wrestling with God, coming out of this experience, his name was Israel, Prince of God. Which would you rather have as a name? Liar? Or prince, or princess, for you ladies. The blessing of God was not cash in his pocket necessarily, because God had prospered him. That was part of the conflict with the boys, his uncle. And God would prosper him again. And God continued to bless and prosper him. And so it wasn't necessarily the material things. It wasn't that his brother disappeared and went away. No, that didn't. It was still there. What happened in this blessing was that he changed his name. He was one thing before the encounter with God, and he was another. And friends, let me say this quickly. But when you encounter God, you realize what his real desire for you is. Before you encounter God in the powerful way, before you have these God moments, before you have these God times of wrestling, even though they come oftentimes in the desert, oftentimes at the end of your rope, oftentimes in the difficult circumstances when you're struggling with family issues that you have no idea how you're going to deal with, and yet in the midst of that desert, in the midst of that wrestling with God, all of a sudden you come out of there and you say, I am a prince. I am a princess. Oh, God would love to wrestle with you, friend, and give you a different viewpoint on yourself. Every time that Jacob would refer to himself, Jacob was referring to himself as a deceiver. Every time he used his name, my name is Jacob. He asked the question. He asked, did God not know the man's name? He asked the question, what is your name? He says, my name's Jacob. He says, not any longer. No, sir. My name is deceiver. My name is scoundrel. My name is liar. And the theophany, the manifestation of God says, not anymore, you're not. You're prince. Friends, I don't know if you want to look yourself in the mirror and call yourself all kinds of names. You want to repeat what the world has called you? You look at the mirror and you start naming yourself the way the world calls you. And you'll be exactly what the world calls you. But when you wrestle with God, you get to that point of blessing. Then you begin to walk away from that. Hey, you walk a little differently from that. But when you walk away from it, you say, I'm not the way I was. I don't accept the titles of this world. I don't accept the things that they call me. I don't accept stupid. I don't accept ugly. I don't accept liar. I don't accept deceiver. I don't accept poor. I don't accept stupid. I don't accept all these things. I no longer accept these things, but I accept the word that God has implanted in me. I accept Prince. Oh, friends, wrestle with God. You know, from henceforth, you know, the people of God had these two names, Jacob and Israel. in Isaiah 9, which is the messianic passage which we read at Christmas time, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You know that whole stuff? Well, at the end of that passage, it says this, the word of the Lord was sent to Jacob, but it was received by Israel. It's the same guy. But basically, from henceforth, Jacob became known as the physical or the natural descendants, and Israel became the spiritual. And friends, I stand here today. I am a prince. I am Israel. I am the church of Jesus Christ. I am a chosen one. I am an elected one. I got to listen to what God has said. He has wrestled with me. I got to get God's terminology in my heart and mind. I got to start looking at myself as God looks at me. I got to start talking about myself as God talks about me. I got to start identifying myself as God identifies me as a prince. And I got to reject the natural things of this world. You know, many thinkers and talkers and preachers have a positive message. Right? This is a nice positive message. A message of positive thinking, a message that will give you temporary success in life's journey, a message that will prop you up when you start to fall down, a message that will help you get through a little bit of the turmoil of your life. But friends, unless you wrestle with God and have a personal encounter with the living God, when He speaks into your spirit, when He speaks into you and says you are our prince, when you hear it from God, that'll change the way you are. So many people just want to say, think positive. Let's give a little 7-step message here about how to think positive, how to live positive, how to be a better whatever, friends. You know, if that's all it is, friends, it won't last very long. Because the next turmoil you come to, the next trial you come into, the next time Satan comes and uses somebody else to speak negativity into your life and speak all kinds of nasty stuff and call you that, you're going to go right back to it again and say, where's my positive message? Where's my positive thinking messages? You've got to rewind the tape and listen to them over and over again. But the power of wrestling with the Lord is the blessing that comes. When He speaks a word into our spirit, friends, that's a great blessing. We're looking for a change of our circumstances, but God is looking to change us from within. He wants not just to send a messenger, not just to send an angel to meet with you, but rather His desire is to find you and wrestle with you. And I guess what, friends? It ain't so pretty sometimes, running all through the night, getting sweaty with God, getting down dirty with God, and sweating and hanging on, friends. But friends, don't give up on your miracle. Don't give up on your experience with God. Don't let go of Him at any time. Hang on to Him, because it is His desire to bless you more even than it is for you to receive a blessing. I like the way the King James says it. I close with this as somebody comes to do something musical. For as a prince, you have power with God and with men, and hath prevailed. Some of you here are crying out to God to change your circumstances. I want to say, friends, there is nothing wrong with that. The first encounter that Jacob had, there was nothing wrong with him coming to God. There was nothing wrong to him praying. There was nothing wrong for him asking for deliverance from these things. There was nothing wrong with that. Hey, friends, pray. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. Absolutely. But what God desired was a deeper work. What God desired was a deeper experience with Him, a personal revelation from Him, not just to have a messenger speak to him, but rather for God Himself to speak in him. And friends, don't count on the preacher. Wrestle with God. Father, I pray for each one today. I don't know the circumstances that they find themselves in. I don't know the conflict in their life. I don't know the family drama or dynamics that may be going on in the life, or their economic circumstances or whatever it may be. But Lord, some have found themselves at this place of Jabbok, at this place of emotional turmoil, at this place of crossroads where one side is one family problem and behind them is another family problem. And Father God, Lord, in this place you desire not only to hear their cry, but you desire, Lord, to wrestle with them. And I say the prophecy that was said before, let go and hang on. Let go of the circumstance and hang on to the living God. Let go of those things around you and hang on to the living God. Let go of your fears and anxieties. Let go of all these things that confound you and hang on to the living God. Wrestle with him until the break of day. Allow him to change the place of the ground under your feet. Allow him to change the way you walk, and allow him to change the way you see yourself by the power of God. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.